Well, there you go.
Oh, we coming in on the second time around. In the background, we got Galactic. DJ Shoots. DJ L. Thanks for a little Shoots and a little L on the way out. Mahalo Nui's for holding it down. And with the transition from one great show to not so great show, but heck, we'll do it for you anyways, because this out-of-the-box special is... Hold on before we go there.
Expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of
the
KKCR.
The views and opinions expressed during this program
are those of the speaker
or underwriters.
And do not necessarily reflect those
the
of
views
KKCR.
And opinions expressed during this program
board
are those of the speaker
or underwriters.
And do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Hope you got that straight. And this out-of-the-box program is made possible by the good folks at Kalaheo Chiropractic and Ching Young.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Oh, there you go.
Ching Young Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Ching Young, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Yes, indeed. Mahalo for your support of Kauai Community Radio. It's about 4:26, according to this clock. I'm not sure where you stay, but I bet it's around that time, unless you're in another time zone. Maybe you're like Jonathan Jay somewhere on the mainland listening. Or you're on a intergalactic funkadelic ship somewhere far, far away. We got an hour and a half almost of mixed plate radio. The kind that whatever you want to talk about, give us a call, 826-7771. It's been a while in regards to having a focus. Today we're going to remain unfocused. We're going to talk about things that are on your mind, in your neighborhood, what's good, what's happening. Share the good news with us. Tim's got a couple things he's going to share. Likewise, if you've been attending any local meetings and you want to update some other folks about that, please do that. Or you got an issue that you'd like to share, bring attention to. That's our community radio. This is our community forum on our community affairs program. And I got a caller. Caller, are you there? Caller, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Hey, I was wondering what happened with the Niaupuni election. Yesterday, I think it was. No, the 3rd. It was Tuesday, actually, was the election. And nothing in the papers at all, not even a mention that it happened. It might have been in a Honolulu newspaper, but in our little blurb, we didn't get nothing about it, and I don't know. It was, you know, there was a big lead up to it, and it's the, you know, the Hawaiian nation, the future for the Hawaiian nation and self-determination and all this stuff from Niaupuni.
Right.
And I know there was a lot of people who didn't like the idea, myself included. Seemed like another one of America's sneak plays to get in and take advantage of the Hawaiian people.
Well, you sound a little skeptical of the process. What do you know about this Niaupuni? I mean, what do you know? Who is it? Help our listeners who might not be following. And myself, I wanted to learn more, and I've had a difficult time getting more information.
Well, it's interesting that you asked, because I called in a week ago. It might have been 10 days ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the representative, the person who was supposed to be representing the Hawaiian people in this election, is Robin Danner.
Okay.
From Anahola. And when I called in, and that was my question then, is who is Robin Danner? And Songs of Sovereignty. I was talking to... what's his name? Boom Boom Kanani.
Brother Donovan, yes.
Brother Donovan. And he said, oh, I tell you what, when I was talking to her, I asked her, you know, where she was from. what her nationality was, and she said, none of your business. And it just seemed like if somebody was representing a whole group of people in this election here, that they would be more cordial than that. Or, but then after that, I talked with Donovan. I hung up on my call, and somebody else called in, and they said, oh, tell that guy who don't know who Robin Danner is to get his head out of the sand and get his ass out of the air. Take a look on the computer, you know, that's where you're going to find all the information.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, what an insult to the kupuna around here who don't have computers, who are very much involved in this election and the determinations and the results of this election. So it was just odd that they would be so aggressively insulting to the people who are concerned about what was going on and wanting to know who their representatives were. I mean, most of the people, they meet their neighbors and that sort of thing, you know, at the luau, maybe the baby party, you know, picking up the kids at school or something, and you get to know who they are.
Right.
But if somebody just shows up out of nowhere, and granted, she's been here for a while, but nobody really seems to know who she is or what, you know, where she's involved with, other than somebody called and said that the organization that she was appointed to represent the Hawaiian people is supposedly independent, but upon checking, it found out that they are affiliated with OHA and the American government. And so they were pushing, you know, the roll call commission. You heard of that?
Sure.
Okay, well, that is, I believe, the same as Ngāi Aupuni. And they had accumulated names of Hawaiians off of other rosters, off of other meetings, off of other areas where Hawaiians would go to. But they were sending ballots out to all those people, but very few of them ever actually registered with them, and they were just pulling the names off of other lists and saying that they were involved in the election. So it got me questioning what was going on, as well as a lot of other people. Walter Riddy came out and was wondering what was going on with the two, questioning the validity of this organization. And then here the big election comes, and it was 2 days ago, and there's not a word about it that I've seen anywhere. I mean, I'm not a computer hound. I don't have a television, that sort of thing. But I listen to the radio, and I try to stay informed otherwise with the people around who know. And it just seems very odd that they went to all this great length, and now they don't even give us the election results. Maybe they were very low turnout and they just want to forget about it or something, but maybe some other caller could call in and inform us about this. I'm curious what happened, because you know, they were calling for all of the Hawaiians to come out, and this is a possibility for you to be a government, to a government relationship and all of this stuff, and then there's just like a puff of smoke. It's just all gone away.
Well, hasn't the entire process kind of been that? Just a big puff of smoke.
A puff of smoke, exactly. But, well, I mean, that would be fine with me if it's gone away. But they could also say, oh, no, we had, earnest results come in from the election, and the Hawaiian people are now a nation within a nation, and everybody.
Are you going to believe the results?
No, I'm probably not going to believe them anyway, but I'd like to hear what they're going to try and say. Actually, I went...
Does it matter what they're going to say if you already know in your mind that it's a given, regardless of whatever the outcome was?
Well, I'm still curious of how they are going to present themselves. I mean, like, if they were going to say, okay, we didn't have a good results, but we had some people come out, hey, let's just push it down their throats. Like, they do a lot of the other deals, you know, the Kuei petition that they had earlier on, I think it was 1898, where the people were standing up to the new form government, provisional government that had been just put together by the local business people and trying, well, finally by then they got cooperation with the American government after about 5 years of Cleveland not wanting to accept the reality of, we just stole Hawaii, and they want me to stand up for it and say that that was honest deal. Then McKinley come in, and McKinley was, I don't know what the word would be, but he was agreeable with everybody else. Hey, let's grab it. You know, we can just grab this place, and it's a good place to station our military, and there's potential for, you know, crops, sugar cane, and different kinds of business. Tourism, I don't think, was a concern at that point. But so, I mean, that's commonplace that they can take, put together an election, and the results not come out exactly the way they want it, but you can spin it to where all the, you know, the Hawaiians that came out were strongly in favor of it, you know.
Do you believe that personally?
What?
That the majority of the Hawaiians are in favor of this process?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. No,
okay.
The Department of Interior was here, and they were asking the questions of the Hawaiians on all the different islands, how they're feeling about it, and they almost threw them out of the room, you know. No, there was very little people that were in support of it. But when they went back, I mean, they go through it, and they take the information that they think they can use and present that back to the people. But no, I don't think the Hawaiians were in favor of it at all.
I agree. And I do believe from what I've heard, as well as talking first-handedly with people that were present at these meetings, that overwhelmingly, the majority or the consensus on this was that they were not in favor of the process, as well as the end determination of them becoming a nation under the nation of, you know, the United States.
Well, I think from the very beginning of when they absconded with the Hawaiian Islands, the Hawaiian people had been feeling that way, and they've been spinning it all along that, you know, they're out in the street dancing, you know, so glad that finally they're recognized as a people, you know. I mean, they did that back then. They did it in state when they turned it into a state, when they annexed it illegally, you know, really bogus. They got the house together, anyway, a joint resolution just among the American people. The Hawaiians weren't involved. They just said, okay, you agree with it, we agree with it, okay, it's ours now. It was like there's no base in international law or anything for how they did it, but they assumed possession of it. They did it in Alaska, too, pretty much. Bought some land from the Russians. The Russians said they owned Alaska, and we paid them some money and took possession of all of Alaska. And it's like, okay, well, this is standard technique, I think, in whatever you want to call it, colonialism, imperialism.
Right.
So anyway, I was just curious to see how they were going to try and spin it today. Now, it's been 3 days, so if they come out now and say, it was really great, there was a great election turnout, and, you know, the Hawaiian people are really for it, that makes me even more suspect, you know, that they had to wait this long to be able to figure out how to present it.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. In regards to this process, right, and you talked about the Hawaiian Roll Commission, and for listeners that aren't familiar with Hawaiian history, really quickly, Hawaii was overthrown by a group of businessmen and was supported in that overthrow by the United States military. So fast forward to 1993, and President Bill Jefferson Clinton comes over and apologizes and, you know, initiates what could be perceived as the opening of the door for restitution, and says, hey, we made a mistake. We apologize for making a mistake. The United States stands behind the Hawaiian people in their desire for self-determination and sovereignty. And so the federal representatives in Washington from Hawaii, Daniel Akaka being the one that decided to create the Akaka Bill. Obviously, that wasn't it. It was the Native Hawaiian Recognition Act or something to that effect. And, of course, it didn't happen in the halls of Congress because of a number of reasons, so it never really went anywhere. But now this is now the new, if you will,
version.
Thank you. I talked to Donovan Kabibi's, Brother Andrew, which one I was talking to, we were all sitting around, and he just said, this is the same thing, it's just a different dress on, you know, it's the same wahine, but just different dress. And I was like, okay, so what does it mean, you know? Well, when it comes at the if you will, from the state and comes from the federal government, and you mentioned the Department of Interior came last summer inquiring if Hawaiians wanted to be recognized, there was a resounding ole from the local community that said, wait a minute, you guys are the wrong group to be asking us. This shouldn't be the Department of Interior. We're not tribal folks from the mainland.
Right.
You know, there's no
Nation of Nation
BIA
would be
going
Secretary
on here.
Of State.
Right.
We want
to hear from John Kerry.
Thank you.
We want to hear from Hillary Clinton. We want to see those emails and all that stuff.
Because if they would have recognized that process, then they would have recognized that all of the lies prior to this actually were valid then. You know, had the Hawaiians or the Kanaka Maole accepted this proposition or this process.
This process.
As it is being thrown or shoved down their throats.
And so here's what I've got from the Na'apuni website. And folks can go to na'apuni.org. And on their first bit about us, it says, Na'apuni is an independent organization made up of volunteer board of directors from the Hawaiian community. It exists solely to help establish a path for Hawaiian self-determination. It will do this through inclusion of as many Hawaiians as possible and in a transparent way.
Only if you have email.
Na'apuni is guiding an election, convention, and ratification process where all Hawaiians who wish to participate can be heard. Na'apuni is separate and independent from OHA and the state of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
When was Na'apuni formed? This is one of the questions. Na'apuni was formed in December of 2014. And what is Na'apuni's purpose? Na'apuni will select organizations and vendors to conduct the election of delegates, organize and conduct the convention or AHA, and potentially conduct a ratification vote. Na'apuni will monitor vendors, but will have no influence on the outcome of the delegate election, AHA, or referendum. Now, how did Na'apuni come about? OHA, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, reached out to all the ali'i trusts, the royal societies, and other Hawaiian organizations to discuss reorganization of a native Hawaiian government and nation building.
Yeah, well, that's not true either. You know, I mean, there are a number of Hawaiian organizations that have organized themselves, especially the reinstated Hawaiian government. They've gone to the trouble of going through and reestablishing the Hawaiian government the way the Queen, when she was dethroned, told them how to do it, how to reconstruct it. If OHA or Na'apuni wanted to relate to Hawaiians who were concerned about this, why didn't they go to the Hawaiians who were out there saying, we want to recreate our government. We want to reestablish our nation. If they really wanted people to do that, why didn't they go to them? Because they were obviously inspired enough to put their government back together to come out there. But actually what they wanted to do, they wanted to lead the organization, and they're going to feed them some crumbs. They're going to say, you know, like things like, okay, well, if you will let us keep our military there, we'll give you back Koho'olawe. Or some other kind of deal where you really don't get much out of it. Give you the land at Kaka'ako or something like that, where it was a incinerator or people can't live there anymore or anything, but they're really proud about talking about giving land back to the Hawaiians, when it's usually, you know, like the American Indians, they put in places where there's no water, there's no fertile ground to grow anything on.
And then they knock them off afterwards once they discover there's copper underneath, right?
Yeah, I heard that too. And okay, that should.
So let me ask you this, caller: did you register?
No, I'm not. I'm a Hawaiian national.
Okay,
I've given up my American citizenship to side with the Hawaiian Kingdom in their efforts.
Okay, then let me just ask you this question. What would you like to see as a Hawaiian national? What would you like to see happen in order to resolve the issue of how do we make things pono?
To contact the government of the reinstated government, or not? I mean, I may have a preference for that because it's the one that I chose to support.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't support Kingdom Ha'atui or any other realistic group of Hawaiians who are trying to get their independence back. But to have the American government put something together and say that, oh, we're going to do this for the Hawaiian people, I don't trust it from the very beginning.
I have an issue, too, that the United States government should not be the facilitating entity to encourage or to facilitate or to coerce nation building for Hawaiians.
Correct.
And the national Hawaiians.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I have I appreciate Kaiulani's on the Songs of Sovereignty show, how she puts it. Honest Americans, what are you going to do about your government's error? Your government's
really, what's our part in this play?
Flawed. Yeah, the flawed response back in the day when the Queen petitioned Congress and did not respond in such a way that would have restored or at least addressed the issues and then be able to look at resolution for Hawaiian people, the business interests, the new republic, whatever it was. Unfortunately, the Spanish-American War
came along.
Whatever the latest war America engaged itself in proved itself to be overwhelming for this island chain, and we became, if you will, the masters of this domain. Now, I'm not okay with that.
No,
and
not at all.
I've learned since I've moved here. And I appreciate Katie Rose, my comrade that sat across from me a number of years ago, asking me what's it like to be a settler here in an occupied land. And really, that was the first time that I had to take ownership, because before that, it was just all, if you will, awareness building. It was all eye-opening that, wow, this happened? Wow, that really... No way. Really?
Well,
our government did that?
All of our textbooks, you know, the American government never taught their people what really happened over here.
That's
I've
correct.
Had my aunt come over, and she heard this talk going on, and she goes, well, shoot, they shouldn't have sold the land in the first place if they wanted the, you know, sovereignty of it. It's like, oh, shoot, people just don't have any idea of what really happened.
Right.
You know, I mean, nation building was happening back at the turn of the century pretty heavy back then, you know. I mean, well, we had Cuba. We were after Cuba at that point. We were after the Philippines was going on. I believe it was Nicaragua in that era as well. I mean, from in the last 100 years, we've overthrown, I don't know, 4 or 5 democratically elected governments and placed in dictators in place of them. And we're talking about, oh, no, we're doing this to help promote democracy and self-determination. And then, like in Vietnam, we put Diem in there. And then after a while we thought, oh, the guy's kind of weak. He's not really doing their job. So, oh, I guess we can take him out of office since we put him into office, right? That makes sense. And then when they took him out of office, well, they assassinated him. But, you know, him and his understudy, I forgot what his second in command were there. And then they didn't even know about it back in America that they were killed. I mean, they were just, this guy was friendly. He was a nice guy. He was helping cooperate with the American government. And to dispose of him, or depose him, I guess is the word, they assassinated him. You know, and they showed pictures of it. Yeah, no, he committed suicide when we took him out of office on the way back down to the police precinct.
Yeah.
Then they showed pictures of it, but they had their hands tied behind their back. And that's kind of hard to commit suicide like that, so...
Mm.
Yeah.
I guess that's the issue is, you know, how much do we trust our government? And knowing the history of our government, are they in a situation where they're going to pull another fast one? And do we trust them enough to do the right thing? Because history has proven us that sometimes many of the decisions are questionable in regards to legality, ethics, morality, all of that stuff.
Well, Jimmy, if I could ask too, what happens if we don't trust our government? What is the next step? What do we do about this?
Well, that's a good
question.
I mean,
it's kind of been going on for quite some time.
Government. You do something, you get out of it.
Well,
I don't know.
Okay.
You speak your mind against it, for one thing.
Well,
for
you
one.
Petition your government, I think, is the first step. You petition your government to do the right thing.
Would we write our senators?
Yeah,
I mean,
well, that's,
above our governor.
This morning I was thinking about this. Obviously, right. I was thinking, well, what do I want to talk about on the radio show today?
Uh-huh.
And this has been something we've talked about for a number of weeks because, brother, you just pegged it when you said, hey, where was this all this leading up to? There was a bunch of stuff about this Niall Pooney and this election. I'd seen it on the Garden Island News and in the column onto the right hand right. online. There was a big yeah. banner and a big, you know, elite-y color saying,
oh,
vote.
Yeah,
you know?
Full-page ads.
And so
I
went there just right now to go find that so I could get the quick link, and it was gone.
So what happens if there was so much exactly. opposition that they don't want to let the truth out?
Well, here
even
we go.
In this process,
here
right?
we go. We'll find out
yeah.
because we know that there were a couple of delegates being selected from Kauai, and I've been a little remiss that I haven't reached out to them to invite them on, but I tell you what, we'll have them. We will have them on soon. I want to read something from, I saw on Facebook, I'm one of those people that does do social media. Okay. Not everyone does, but I enjoy it at times, especially for stuff like this. I'm not yeah. going to share her name, but I'm going to share what she wrote, and it says, for my friends, family, and community, I'm wondering how many of you understand the weight of what is happening in Hawaii with respect to Kaniʻoluʻuwalu and Niall Pooney. And Kaniʻoluʻuwalu was the previous role. That was
correct.
That was the earlier version or the latest dress on that wahine. Anyways, do you understand what this is about? Or do you look away saying, I'm not Hawaiian, so it doesn't concern me? I'm just curious to know if you understand the weight of what is happening today. Regardless of what nationality you are, you should understand what is happening. Many of you understand racism and racial appropriation, but perhaps you don't understand what's happening here in your backyards. I'm asking you to get involved, research, ask questions, know what the discussion is all about. It's not okay to turn away and allow this injustice to occur in your backyard. Many of us who are Hawaiian are losing sleep night after night as we deal with this. It would be nice to know that our community is not racially divided and that you will stand with us when you know the truth. I read that yesterday. I was like, wow. So I appreciated that. Obviously, I hit the like button, you know, but it was one of those things that, yes, we need to know more. I went onto that Niall Pooney website, and there was a contact information number. I'm going to go there right now, and I asked this person, I think it was Lloyd Yonianaka, and I sent them an email and said, hey, I work for community, I volunteer for community radio, and I'd like to find out more. Would you be open to doing an interview? I never heard back.
Mm.
Crickets.
Yeah. Well, you know, in some ways, it's hard to blame the older Hawaiian people because they've been so knocked down and lied to for so long of a period of time that they're just looking at themselves and saying, you believe those guys? We're going to go through this again. We fought against them for, you know, 100 years already. What did we get? They're going to give us the Koho Lawe back with, you know, live ordinance on it. They're going to give us the dump it at Kaka'ako, you know, that kind of stuff. So they're so jaded. It's like this whole thing's just a play. It's just, you know, if they would have come out and said, hey, you know, like Clinton did, but we can't give it back to you because it's important geographically to us, and we're going to hold it even though it was an illegal action. But that's what we're going to do. They don't want to just hear lies anymore. The lies have been so often that...
How many ways can you twist it?
Yeah.
You know? It's enough. Enough's enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you said, the veil is falling. Truth has to reign through this whole process. Now, listener, could I ask you a personal question as well, too? Would you support, if you knew that there were heirs, true heirs to the monarchy, as them being figureheads of this newly established nation, if it were to come back into placement?
Well, that's a good question, and
it's one
that's been pondered a lot.
Yeah.
And I think, like the Kingdom of Atui, it supposedly does have some blood connections to the crown, and that's what their leader is. The reinstated Hawaiian government has had a constitutional convention and actually changed the Hawaiian constitution so that women could vote and updated some of the things that they thought would be appropriate to the times right now. And those two seem to have quite a bit of disagreement amongst them. But I was thinking that it could be similar to the American government. We got Republicans and Democrats who don't get along, but they're still one government. So to have them both, to have a constitution that was worked out and have some blood in there, too, would be good. Even in the reinstated Hawaiian government, there are divisions of the government that you have to be a blood noble. You have to have Hawaiian blood in there to be in that office. Though they do, they would accept other people in other offices as representatives if they showed that they had the ability to it. And it's democratic. It's by election.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Nobody is just established. It's by election like that. So I think that there's a place for both of them or all of them to work together if they're Hawaiian motivated groups, not American government motivated groups here.
Right. Now, when I speak of some of this genealogical inheritance, let's say, you know, coming back to this, if it was greater than even just to the islands of Hawaii Nei, but that which can show true genealogy of the kingdom of Polynesia on a greater sense, and I'm talking about the triangle and the archipelago,
mm-hmm.
if somebody of that, would you be in favor of someone, once again, establishing themselves as, you know, the true heir, you know, to all of us?
I don't know. I don't have a real snap decision to that. But I think in the getting together with the other kingdoms in the Polynesian Triangle, a lot of them are looking to Hawaii for leadership in
Correct.
What's going on. Not wanting to say, come with us because we've got the blood royalty down here in our on our islands or in our community down here. But they're wanting to know what's happening with the Hawaiian Islands.
Well, and I think that there's a sense, too, that indigenous people, and specifically islanders in the Pacific, are more than willing to unburden themselves from the shackles of colonialism, that the European and American interests have already done their damage, and that they'd be willing to just kind of like be off with that and do their own thing. And
yeah,
restore.
Some can't even return to their own homelands mm-hmm, because of mm-hmm. the destruction that's been placed there.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, well, I'm surprised we don't have Robin Danner calling in and saying, oh, the election was just wonderful, and now we've finally done it, and the Hawaiians are free to seek their self-determination and everything. Robin, where are you? Give us a call. I want to hear what's going on.
826-7771. Here we go. And I want to just, before you go, and we're going to go to the top of the hour here very shortly, our delegates for Kauai and Niihau, the five that were running, Samuel Aea, Kanani Fu, Mai Ling Haumea, Linda Kaawai Iwamoto, and Ku'ule Aloha Santos. So if you know Sam or Kanani or Mai Ling or Linda or Ku'ule, mm-hmm. you might want to ask them, hey, what's up with this Niihau Puni? And yeah. Did you win? Were you successful? And we'll find out. I'm going to read at the top of the hour afterwards. I'm going to read a little bit about their background, mm-hmm. and maybe Robin Danner will call in, or anybody else who has an opinion. We'll play our disclaimer again. I really appreciate you, caller, for
thanks, caller.
Bringing this up and asking the question of like, hey, what's up with that? Because I wanted to know too.
Well, I appreciate the show. This is a place that I go to for a lot of my information about what's going on in the island. So I appreciate what you guys are doing and allowing me a voice and speaking my mind.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, caller. And we will be hopefully hearing from Robin, if not on this show, in a future show. And
well,
folks can ask those questions.
Hopefully we ruffled some feathers there and they want to give us a response.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So you have a wonderful afternoon, and mahalo for calling
Thanks,
and participating
caller.
On your community radio. It is almost 5 o'clock. I am going to play this again because, well, you know, it's always fun.
Views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
There you go, Tim.
Thanks, my brother.
All yours. And for you guys out there, remember, KKCR listens.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii, 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
And remember that this out-of-the-box special is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the good folks at Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care Kauai.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
Right on, and thank you for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Thank you, our underwriters.
Radio.
Really.
Yes, and Tim, yeah. You got an announcement, something going on, and then yes. We got a caller who's already waiting to go.
Okay, well, first we'll put this great information out for all of you folks that live in the Ko'olau Moku, that is the Ko'olau district of this island that runs roughly from about, Anahola Ways all the way to up here to close to Ainaho, golf, mini golf. So anybody that lives within that moku or district, this evening at 6:30 at the Anahola Community Center, they will be having their moku meeting tonight. So please, if you have an opportunity to attend, if you wish to come and share your mana'o about any sort of issues or things that are presented to you within your ahupua'a or within your district, please come and voice your opinion tonight. That is at 6:30 at the Anahola Community Center. They would all be appreciative of that. And certainly, your voice does count, even there. This is a way to get yourself involved in your community, in the process of being accountable for your resources, as the community goes and things like this. And so once again, come, state your intentions, of what you would like to see or what you'd like to have changed so that your livelihood can be better. And once again, this is in the fashion of a cultural way that they do these things. So please come out and support. Once again, Ko'olau District.
Thank you, Tim. And we got a caller now. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Good.
We can.
Well, continuing the discussion you guys was having a little bit before the top of the hour.
Yep.
The reality is that the discussion you guys are having, the dates back to between 1830 and 1848, which was the process between the initial concept, the conception of the Great Mahele leading up to it, 1848 implementation.
So for folks who aren't familiar, what is the Great Mahele?
Okay, the Great Mahele is that plantation sugar, and pineapple needed to control the land. And I'm going to go ahead and speculate because it has to do with Wall Street and how they operate, supporting projects and funding.
Okay, so
I'm also going to speculate that part of it is because they wanted the control outright.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, they needed and wanted to have the land under their ownership. And under the king, under the old Hawaiian way, the king owned all the land.
Okay.
And so during this process, he divided, which is what Mahele means, is to portion up or divide.
Okay.
He gave land to his elites, he gave land to the commoners, and then he gave land to foreign interests.
The planters.
However, the concept of ownership was lost to the commoners and the elites. none of them understood what it was that was occurring in real time.
Okay.
So what happened was they didn't go down, and because this was a transfer of an old governance to a Western-style governance, business and government and whatnot, they didn't go down and file the paperwork. That's how a lot of the land ended up in the sugar barons, you know, hands. Not that they didn't get a good portion outright, but even more land became under their control.
Sure, because it was, if you will, it was a deal set up to favor them, and then they took advantage of the, if you will, the lack of participation by elite and commoners.
Because it was a system totally unbeknownst to them.
Correct. And, you know, some of the upper Hawaiian elites, they had education. Some of them weren't even pure Hawaiian. They were, you know, half white and half Hawaiian, and they had formal education.
Sure.
And so some of them were looking out for the Hawaiians, and they put in the water rights that is the basis for our state water laws.
Okay.
You know, and so there's great significance for that. But for the discussion of the disproportionate ownership of land at the turn of this, you know, at the turn of what was happening, that's why so many people, you know, got the plantation of the land. And I'll go on further to say that when the plantation started to shed the land down the process, when they realized that they were going to start going to a cheaper area to do sugar, they saw that out 70, 60, 50 years before it occurred. And, you know, the only people in Kauai, not statewide now, but for Kauai, that had their money and their families was Portuguese. So that's why Portuguese ended up with huge chunks of real estate. That's why Kalaheo is all Portuguese, because they had the money to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's kind of like a little history. But, you know, it sounded like you guys was on the right track, but I just wanted to take you a little bit further in history. So you got a pretty better detailed understanding of where we are today and how, I mean, and by its own record, because this is all recorded very well, within 14 years of the Great Maile, it had already been corrupted and changed from what it originally was supposed to be.
So like 1860.
By 1860, and by the, well, basically they actually say it's the start of the overthrow. That's how it's kind of worded in history, because it's a timeline from 1830 to, I believe, 1898 or whatever it is. I'm not sure on the timeline.
So they came here, saw this beautiful oasis out in the middle of the Pacific, and they said, you know what?
I like a piece of the rock.
Not just a piece. I want the rock.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people would be mad that I will say this, but to a certain degree, a portion of the ruling Hawaiian class was also on board with a majority of the vision, right? Obviously, they wanted to safeguard for their people, and they thought they were putting in language that would, or was dealing with people that would honor the language, I should say. But in reality, parts of this history doesn't all fall on in the invading white person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
Well, but then again, see, I think a lot of trust from the monarchy at that time, or those ali'i in place, truly had a different conceptualization of quote-unquote trust and how you deal with people. Right, since they haven't been subjected to the outside world per se, or the westernized conception.
King Kamehameha III was already subjected to the outside world.
Right.
He understood the outside world. They already had educated people among the ranks and have been going to school abroad.
Right.
Correct.
And so what I'm saying is that to a degree, right? You know how you said you have to own up. You're
right.
Moving on, whenever I heard you earlier, you were talking about at a certain point you have to own up.
Right, being a settler.
Being a settler.
To a certain degree, the whole history has to be told correctly. And you cannot get upset if you say, oh, some of the fault is within a certain amount of mindset within this Hawaiian group. Because that's the reality. That, yeah, they were playing with fire and they got burned, but at a certain point they were still playing with fire. They sat at the big boys' table.
Well, let me ask you this. We'll fast forward now, post Bill Clinton's apology resolution. What do you think of this nation-building process? Do you think this Nye Aupuni, this OHA supported, because that's who's funding this organizational push to get a role of Hawaiians
recognition
and then be able to enter into negotiations for nation building. What do you think of that? Is that a good thing? Are you supportive of that?
Under this process.
Well, I will tell you this, that it's unfair to say just because OHA funded something that they supported outright, because they do a diverse amount of funding. Right, and maybe something started off in the beginning. I mean, even as the TMTE grew, they started to have people within their ranks change their positions. So I don't know enough. Like I said, I don't know enough. I don't know what they funded or not funded. But I'll tell you what I will say. Some of these Hawaiian groups are not looking out for the best interest of the whole. And what I was explaining that occurred centuries ago, right? The modern Hawaiians better go and study history so they don't fall into the same pit. I think we're reliving history once again.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you, as an honest American, think our government should do for the Hawaiian people?
Well, for one, I gotta be honest.
Please be.
I know many Hawaiians.
I'm sure you do.
That disagree with the Hawaiians calling for sovereign return, and for they have so many positions that I personally do believe that at least. For one, healthcare. You know, let's get Native Hawaiians some healthcare. I know plenty of Hawaiians and no more healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could agree as an American, if we can bring people over from atolls that we radiated their coconut trees to support them, that our own citizens that we have displaced, we should also take care of them. And luckily in Hawaii we have healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you are a Hawaiian that lives in Vegas?
Mm.
Or Seattle, New York, right? I think they should be able to register for, and as far as I'm going, maybe even Hawaiian, I mean, Native Americans, but you know, they might not want American medicine either. Who knows?
Right,
but
right.
That's up to them. But that's up to them. And as an American, I think that's a stepping stone.
Uh-huh. And so am I hearing you right that there might be, you're open to the idea of restitution for Native Hawaiians?
Well, I don't see how it's any different. When you say the word restitution, I think you change the language and make it a negative, right? I think if you do an equal parallel equation, right, that what's different from a Micronesian that's forced to come over here and we need to send him to Queens and take care of him at Queens versus an Hawaiian that we've done that to that has to live on the beach because, you know, his family lands have been outpriced or taken out from under.
Sure,
sure.
Right. And
I mean, I think it's all in language, right?
But for that sake, how about if I now stand up as a national and say, but wait, I know that I may be Maluhini here, you know, and I've come here, but am I not also entitled to these same, you know, benefits that now you want to give to not only, you know, Hawaiians, but Micronesians?
Well, no, Micronesians are already getting it. That's what you don't understand.
Oh.
One third of the homeless in Oahu is from these atoll nations that we nuked in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
Right.
That their coconuts are radiated. They can't even sustain themselves.
Right. The reefs are demolished. The water is undrinkable.
Yeah, and so, you know, and by the way, they're not doing a very good job of even supporting that, by the way.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, you asked me a hypothetical.
I did.
I gave you the answer that I was comfortable with.
Thank you.
You know, I didn't like the word restitution. Mm-hmm. I don't view that as restitution because in actuality, I would actually say that all citizens of America instead of giving welfare to companies like GE and Halliburton and, you know, any kind of corporation that's making munitions and armament that our own militaries reject and say we don't need, that should be recycled into a medical fund. And if you want to use a negative language, call it socialistic medicine or whatever, we got to come up with a good language. But I think all Americans should have health insurance.
I agree.
Not be gouged.
Correct.
And so, you know, I mean, it's kind of a loaded question, but in a perfect world, that's what I would like.
Well, Obamacare, aren't we? Isn't that working?
Well, you know, it works for me. I'm a handicapped guy. I have been denied service because I'm active and I break titanium legs.
Right.
Wow.
On a frequent basis. I've broken many.
Your frequent flyer miles are getting some good mileage out of Obamacare.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good for
I
you.
Mean, literally, I went 9 months with being denied service until I literally had to get my lawyer to call and say, look, am I supposed to dummy down my life and live at your cost value?
Right.
Or what?
Right.
Let's go to court and see who's going to win this one. And so they gave me a second leg.
Good for you. The backup, a spare.
Yeah.
They gave me a spare, one for walking and one for hammering.
Oh.
Well,
there's a joke in there, but I ain't going there, my brother.
Yeah, well, I ride a motorbike.
Okay. One mean rumble, I can hear it.
But, hey, that's the other thing. I only called to point out the timeline and take you guys a step further. I didn't actually, we've been trying to get into a political discussion, and my views don't really matter. They do and they don't. At this point, this is to me, some of this has to be hashed out within their own world. Some of the rift is there. I don't know what the right answer is.
Mm. I think that's me neither.
Out there. You know what I mean?
But don't you think that if the Hawaiian nation were able to be given the opportunity in this day and age to stand on their own 2 feet, that they would do a halfway decent job, or at least better than currently how things are being operated and run, for the benefit and the welfare of not only their own resources, but for their own people and the management of their peoples?
Well, what you're talking about is this. So if it turns out your piece of property, was on one, a leaky land that he just didn't reclaim, and we go as far back to trace back all of these commoners and elites who didn't show up to sign their name on the line to claim their land, right?
Right.
Which I want to tell you is exactly what happened in 1998 when the plantations gave up their 99-year leases that were supposed to go back to the original people.
Thank you.
But they put one small little one-by-one heading in the back page of the Garden Island, mentioned it one time on the radio,
yep,
and only the pre-selected guys showed up.
Right.
And so I just want to throw that out as a little tidbit. But going back to what I was saying, what if they show up at your lot and say, oh, our genealogy, our historians, and all of our experts have deemed that your 5 acre, I don't know what you live on, but we're going to just make it some 5 acre.
You're close. That's good. Keep going.
You know, 5 acre, $4.5 million estate that you... It's not your second home. It's your only home. And, yeah, it's nice, but, you know, you did it, and it took you a long time, right? And I show up and say, oh, this is Joseph Kanialani's lot, and he's got the blood quantum line and blood trail, and we've got the stuff to back it up. Now you got to move. This is his house. That's what you're talking about.
But don't you feel that there would be, In this governmental faction like that, and if that this person truly had that kind of genealogy in the background as a li'i or whatever, that somehow some sort of restitution, somehow, some way, or an exchange of some nature would also possibly take place.
Well,
not just saying, hey, you're coming here, brought out of here. Sorry, you go take up your business with the title company since you were flamboozled into this.
Well, like I said, in a perfect world, it would all work itself out.
Yes.
But when you talk about the things you talk about, the gravity is greater than what you guys actually saying on the show. I just wanted to point out that even not going back to the Mahalia and understanding what happened and transpired in that critical point of time, if you really want to understand what she's talking about, you have to go and study that point of time for Hawaii.
Well, and here's the other thing that we need to understand, too, is that there's a bunch of people that are going to argue that if it wasn't for America and the United States and the benevolent military, that we'd be speaking Japanese right now and that we would be not being able to live our lives the way that we are accustomed to because we're privileged to call ourselves Americans now.
And you'll meet a lot of Hawaiians that say that.
I think you're right.
I'll agree.
There are a number of them. I don't know if they're the majority.
Right.
But there are certainly a number of them that have, if you will, benefited from the United States and their American citizenship, or that they've served their country well, that they've been you know, outstanding, you know, in the field. But
Can I say something real quick?
Oh,
I just had a really great epiphany.
Yeah.
You know,
share it.
What would be the best for the Hawaiian people as a holistic general truth is that all the different factions need to hooey up and make a course, a college course of education, uninformed that everybody knows all angles. And I think if everybody understood everybody's position, that would help alleviate some of the tension and misinformation. Like, some of the reasons that people are so confused is each island, and I know this for a fact, each island has a slightly unique history with the history of the plantation. For example, I mentioned earlier Kalaheo Portuguese, right?
Mm-hmm,
right.
Well, the Waimea Hawaiians, for a long time, they never liked the Portuguese. There's been a rift for a long time. I know myself. I experienced this.
And there's a reason for that.
There is.
Yes.
And it all has to go with the Portuguese had the money to purchase the land that was taken. And the reason I use Kauai is different is because we were the only 100% controlled plantation island. Nobody else had 100% control.
Like on Oahu, it was different.
It was different. It was the capital. It had different commerce segments.
Yeah.
Maui kept some of its ahumokus intact even till today.
Mm-hmm,
old
mm-hmm.
Hawaiian families. Big Island didn't have enough water and soil to encompass the entire production of the island.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right, it's lava and the Moana.
Right.
Exactly.
They had huge parcels of production. It was worth being there. But they couldn't engulf the entire island in production like they did here.
Like here, right.
Here. And so I'll give you an example. Now, I tell you, as a kid, I learned when I traveled to the west side, because I'm from Kapahi, so up in Kapahi, we don't have this problem. But when I was a young kid and I started going and meeting these, you know, Kanaka Maolis in the valley, they were aggressive to me originally, which I'm aggressive back. And but now we're friends. This was way long ago.
But you got a sense of like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, and I had to do a little understanding. And then, at first I thought I was from Kalaheo, which I'm Portuguese, and my grandma is originally from Kalaheo, but I'm raised Kapai. And so I was like, no, I'm from Kapai. And that actually was the start of a better dialogue. But I figured out. Then I went to Oahu in my 20s. And where I went to Kalihi Valley, and I got a lot of friends in Kalihi Valley. And in Kalihi Valley is an old Portuguese settlement, And I get friends that have about 1/16 Portuguese, and maybe the name, Fernandez at the last. But they're mostly Samoan Hawaiian. And those guys are more proud of that one little sliver of Portuguese, in some respects, than their Polynesian background. Said it all the time. I sit in there like a Tetris piece. and my friends on Kauai know all my friends on Oahu. But and then that was my start of my anthropological rationale that, hey, we have really different dynamics over here.
Right.
And so what experiences some of the Hawaiians in better areas of the city, more affluent areas, versus the ones that have had their sun down. And I'll give you a really good example, the Pinkertons. I asked my friend's uncle one time, Uncle, how come you only get four letters in your last name? And he told me one really serious story about how they had to change their names because if you were outspoken against the plantation, they would put the Pinkertons on you. And they couldn't pronounce somebody's long last name, so all they had to do was shorten them.
Right.
That's why you got Kane, Kanehe, and all of these short little names. And you got to ask yourself, how come these guys get four letters, five letters in on Hawaiian name? When you ever seen that?
Right.
And so it's really a deep, deep discussion you gentlemen are having. But I just thought you needed to go deeper.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, really? Tell me this, because I'm not familiar with the Pinkertons.
Well, the Pinkertons is from the mainland. And they're the same Pinkertons that you hear on the cowboy shows.
Yeah, the security system, man. They used to make sure that they... Well, no, what were they? More like the CIA, weren't they? They go out and find the kind if somebody robbed their stagecoaches or their goods or whatever, you'd send the Pinkertons out after them.
Well, yeah, whatever it was, you know, I mean...
The muscle.
My friend's father is a serious guy. He's not a... He doesn't even talk that much, to be honest. You know, unless he knows you well.
That's serious.
And, you know, for him to tell me that, and I was younger when he told me that, but for him to tell me that, you know, it was heavy. You know, it made me think.
Eye-opening.
And that's around the time I started to do my little self-studying and trying to figure out who I am within this environment, because you know how you talk about, you know, you have to own up to some of whatever you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To a certain degree, as a Portuguese male, I have to own up to. You know what I mean?
Right.
And not saying that my ancestors was all bad, but I'm just saying that we weren't part of, you know, we're part of the problem to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has to own up. And then, but then I think now the question is, how do we, you talk about what if they were to regain, but my question is, what resources are worth regaining that doesn't have so much work to revitalize?
Well, don't you think just the term Aina, the Aina, because that is the culture. Is it not?
It is, but, you know, at a certain degree, you're going to need resources.
It's synonymous.
The albizio problem alone is bigger than any... there's a lot of issues.
See, we're getting deep again. Here we go.
Yeah, and you're so right. There's a lot of issues.
How many onions do we want
to
peel?
For them to be sustainable.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Right.
But if we can augment their lifestyle so they can have a little bit of flexibility to move and stratify within their culture, you know, maybe even down to college. Well, I know that they get some stuff. Hawaiian guys. I know some of the Hawaiian guys from Niihau. And if you're a certain, you know, they do have programs to breed. Believe it or not, they told me that they get programs to breed and all and reproduce and whatnot. I thought they were joking, but I don't know. Maybe that was true. I came from the Hawaiians of Niihau. I know some of them.
They're looking at you in Portuguese.
Maybe they was pulling my leg.
Yeah, those kind of heli boys are funny that way.
Yeah, they.
Watch out for the Shigemoto's.
Like I said, who knows? I could be. They could have been absolutely truthful or slightly embellishing. I don't know. But, you know, but I will say this. I hope they work it out. And, you know, I'm a citizen of America, even though I'm a local from Hawaii. And I respect what they're trying to do, you know. And I think you can't go backwards. I don't think you can call for 400-year-old practices to be reestablished. You know, some of the stuff within their own ranks, many of them, the consensus go, oh, that's too extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I think somewhere in the middle, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And when it comes to Hawaiians, I don't call it reformations or whatever. What did you use the word?
Restitution.
Restitution, as much as it is back payment.
Oh, it's kind of the same.
Well, and I think I misspoke. I think you're right. Restitution does have a negative connotation, and reparations might be a better word to use.
Reparations, much better.
Yeah, but I think it's back payment, because a lot of what they generate revenue on, if you went down the book, supposed to be going into the tail of the other guy, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, hey, wait a minute, you owe me money more than, hey, I think I've suffered enough and I want money. I just kind of wording them kapahi style.
You know? No, but I get it. And I think that's one of the issues is some people would say, hey, you know what? I don't want your money. I just want to be able to go up Mauka and go hunting, and I want to go down Makai to be able to gather on
get
the reef.
Fish.
And I want to be able to practice the things that mean something to me without somebody saying, nope, sorry.
Right, you busted trespassing. For trespassing.
Nope, sorry. You cannot do that anymore. That's illegal. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
And so,
I, and, I,
Go ahead.
And I think that falls on the line of finding that balance.
Yes, I agree.
You know what I mean?
And I think that...
I'll let the gentleman go, because I bet you there's somebody like I was earlier waiting to get through.
No, you know what? No, the red light's not going on, but I appreciate your mono on this. And I want... This is on a whole different story. I appreciate your appearance and presence at our county council meetings. I see you on TV every now and then. Not that you're not there all the time. It's just that I don't see it all the time, because I don't watch TV much. But when I do, I watch the county council. And brother, I appreciate you being there.
Thank you very much.
No, yeah, thank you. And thank you for calling on. We'll talk.
And since you brought it up, before I go, you know, I heard you guys, I heard the gentleman who was talking about a, he was a Hawaiian national.
Yes.
And that's fine and dandy. But I was listening with him and with my daughter. And one of his solutions was to leave the government. And I fundamentally disagreed. But I respect him and what he does. But I personally fundamentally disagreed, and I looked at my daughters, and I said, well, my youngest was with me. And I looked at her, and I actually said, I said, the way you change things is you become informed, and you get involved, and you move it in the direction that's best. You actually challenge the guys. That's the only way. And, you know, I mean, I don't disapprove of anybody doing anything. I believe anybody can do whatever they want to do in self-government. As long as it's not infringing on the next neighbor, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I, since you brought it up, I think I go there so that I can complain and not feel like I'm, you know, I think I feel better complaining and being part of it.
Yes.
Instead of just sitting in the back at Kalia with a beer in my hand going, these dummies at the county.
Yeah, what a bunch of donkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've done that too. And I think at a certain point I did it to where I heard myself aloud, and I started going, hey, you're the donkey. Go down there and say it. You go challenge. You can put your mouth where your mouth. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that's where I go. And thank you for noticing. And yeah, right on, brothers.
I ask you one quick one before you get off too? What do you think about this dog barking ordinance?
Well, what I'll say is this. If a competent third person party, like a dog patrol officer or even I've suggested the county park rangers, because they were created to fill a niche, but they have room to do other things, I believe. And they should be canine trained if they're dealing with dogs at the park, right? If they got to deal with somebody's dog on top of the bike path, which is meant for dogs, right? They should be certified to handle canines. That I made that connection. Now, if you're going to move forward with a dog ordinance, the person making the complaint should also pick up its own bill. It shouldn't be sprung to the county, because that right there is a mechanism to filter out real complaints. Are you guys still there?
No, yeah, we're listening.
Okay, and then the other thing that I really, 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 really oppose is having the neighbors do... Which this ties back into the original valid third person party, right? Other than the Wahine and her workers from the Humane Society, who themselves have acknowledged that they're done at 4:30 and that's it. You know, I really oppose having somebody go and take your dog, because for one, my house, and I said this in what I said yesterday, my dogs are guard dogs. When I tell them to be quiet and I got to control them, they're pretty much relatively very well trained. However, when I'm not home, they are trained. So if you're standing in my proximity where you can see my garage, which means you have, that's how close you have to be to film them or hear them, they don't bark at you. Okay? That's it. They're trained for that. My neighbors hear the barking constantly in my neighborhood. Even if they're new to the neighborhood, because I do have some people that aren't born and raised here, and we all get along. Luckily, I live in a utopia, thank God. But we go and check on each other's houses. Hey, what's the dog barking? Nobody's home. Oh, something's wrong. Let's go see what it is.
Mm.
You know, and so, but I'm all for a comprehensive noise ordinance. I'm not for a dog ordinance, because unless you have that validated person to go in, can sit in the living room and hear it, whatever. I read some of the stuff, you know, and then they can deem that it's excessive. versus a process that can be filed by a simple of a phone call, an envelope in the mail, and then if you don't comply, you can lead yourself into a $4,500 to $5,500 court hearing, which most likely you will win, being the guy, the defendant, because it, the way that it's set up is there's no mechanism to prove the dog wasn't provoked, and that's the flaw with this design. No matter if it's two people making the complaint or 400 people making the complaint, that's the fundamental flaw, is it's unwinnable. Mm. And so the guys that say, oh, I don't want to go to court and pay the bill, they actually get a criminal mark on their record. So if you don't CDL and you're a hunter, which, by the way, most of the cases were small little yappers. I don't know if you knew that. Most of the complaints were small dogs.
Right.
Little small dogs. Not even a hunter being complained. There are a few hunters that got complained. But for the majority, you know, even the ones that went to court, they were like little, you know, little dogs that never stopped. And, but if you're a hunter and somebody moves in and they just file a complaint and you don't want to deal with it or you don't have the money to deal with it and you're a CDL driver, that can affect your livelihood.
Yeah.
And so I'm not against, oh, and by the way, I'm really actually as strongly opposed to bad owners that don't control their dogs. That's number one. I'll get that out there, right? But I don't think targeting the dogs the way they're doing in this language is the way. I think Mel Raposo had it right, and the county should really hooey up and get a noise ordinance going because, for example, on my house in House Lock, I can hear the rodeo, you know, going at midnight sometimes, which is on the bypass road, you know. And then that's not to mention all the cows are here all night, which, by the way, I'm not grumbling about. I'm just pointing out that where does this, oh, my God, the animals, you know what I mean? And it's like, are we going to yell at the rancher for go down and move his cows and muzzle them or whatever it does to cut the tongue out or, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Middle of the night on a moonlight night.
Nah, nah.
Or when they separate the calves from the moms, then you got
right.
It.
Well, the worst is when they put the heifer in the bullpen for breeding. That's the worst.
I kind of like that.
It's all night for a week and it's loud. I live with a breeding stud, and so my point being is that.
What's your name?
My name is Matt Bernard.
No. Excuse me.
But my
stud.
Point being is that something has to be done for the owners that are just going to go and say, hey, go blank yourself. I don't agree with that either, especially if you're local. If you're local and listening to me, it is your job to express the aloha spirit. You're not supposed to engage with the negativity first. Even if your neighbor is on the mainland and they express a cultural difference that is not aligned with ours, it's your job to educate them correctly, not wall up and start a war.
There you go. So I appreciate
that. Out there. That's the true aloha spirit, is compassion and understanding. And then, you know, down the road, the other part of the aloha spirit means goodbye. That means if you keep messing up, then we're going to take you out.
Aloha.
Aloha.
No.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate
really,
you calling
thanks,
in. All
right,
all that you're doing. Appreciate it. Aloha. So I might have to just do this because I wanted to hear what this was about. Now, this is off the internet. This is a YouTube video, and it is explaining what is Naiaupuni. Now, it is a YouTube video, so we'll have to go there and see what goes on. It might not be such appropriate for radio, but we're going to check it out anyways. Uh-oh, that's not dead air. That's just me hitting the wrong button. There we go.
Well, can we put you on the air?
Aloha. My name is Raul Noheo Goodness. I'm a Kanaka Maoli, native Hawaiian. Grew up on Maui. And now I live in Brooklyn, New York. Today I'm here to talk to you about what is Naiaupuni. Now, this is a question that came to me really in the past few months as well. Because up until then, I wasn't really up to date on all the actions that were happening regarding nation building for Hawaiians. But I had to get up to speed real fast since August 3rd when the first election notice was sent out. So what I want to do today is to share some of the things that I've learned in that time period and hopefully by doing so to help inform the rest of Hawaiians that are trying to figure out this process really quickly. Okay? So, first, we got the state of Hawaii. State of Hawaii really kicked off this process in 2011 when Act 195 was signed into law by Abercrombie. That's what created the Native Hawaiian Royal Commission, otherwise known as Kanai Oluwalu. So this is the list which was intended to register Hawaiians in order to be involved in nation building. So this became somewhat controversial because of the requirements needed to sign on to the list. Not all Hawaiians could agree to that for certain reasons. And also, this came after all the controversial Kaka Bill. It's seen as another way to have a state of Hawaii-led process to get federal recognition for a Hawaiian governing entity, because the Kaka Bill failed through the federal system. So this is a little bit different. Why would the state of Hawaii be involved in this process? One of the main reasons has to do with the so-called ceded lands, which after the 1893 overthrow of the Kingdom of Hawaii, shortly after the what was the illegal government, the Republic of Hawaii, entered into said that all the lands that were held by the government and the crown lands were to be ceded to the U.S. federal government. However, those lands are still considered out of the Statehood Act. Those lands were considered to be in the land trust for the interest of Native Hawaiians. So basically, the state of Hawaii doesn't have the ability, although they control the land trust and the Department of Hawaiian Lands as well, they don't really have full control because it's not, the claims on those lands are not settled. So how can they be settled? It's not possible to settle with Native Hawaiians unless there is a government representing Native Hawaiians, which has the standing to make a deal. Okay, so the only way that that can be settled is through the creation of a governing entity. So that's where Na'iapuni comes in. So there had to be an independent process created independent of the state of the Hawaii or the federal government, because if it was just the state of Hawaii acting, that is clearly not legitimate in the courts. So, or really, like, in terms of people's understanding anyway. So what had to happen is there had to be a separate corporation called Na'iapuni created, and this is the way they did it. So it's really, it was controlled by the state of Hawaii, but technically it's independent. So what they're using is, and it's using the Kanai Oluwalu list as the voter list, okay? So that's a big issue because there's a lot of controversy in that because so many Hawaiians didn't want to sign up or actively remove themselves from that list because, why would you do that? Why would you decide not to vote if you're Hawaiian in a governing entity. And the reason is because the state-driven process has had a specific outcome in mind, okay? Theoretically, there could be multiple outcomes, but really, the intention is to get federal recognition. So what's federal recognition? Federal recognition is by the U.S. federal government. There's a Department of Interior within the U.S. federal government. Some people call it the DOI, Department of Interior. That's a department that is, it manages sort of everything in the internal, like either federal lands in the United States. It's also responsible for the Native Indian tribes. So this department has authority over, you know, the federally recognized Indian tribes as well as the Alaskan Native tribes. It also has, part of its concerns has to do with the Hawaiian Homestead Act. So what federal recognition is that if a department, if a governing entity is created, so a governing entity is created, that entity, if it conforms to the terms of the Department of Interior, it could be granted, if it requests it, it could be granted federal recognition, okay? So basically, you know, they have, basically they have, if it conforms with the rules, that an entity could be federally recognized. Now, how do we get there? So if there's federal recognition, Native Hawaiians would be similar to like tribal, like a tribal government, and all the authority would be under Department of Interior. And Congress would also have full control over that entity. So basically, this is seen as legalizing the... what was still, what is still outstanding, which is the fact that the U.S. was involved in illegally overthrowing the Hawaiian Kingdom, and if this happens, then it's sort of, you know, it's legalized. So there would have to be an interest for, you know, for us Hawaiians, we have to have an interest in doing this. So that's a big question. So the state wants this because if that entity is recognized, and it's also has most Hawaiians are, you know, it basically is legitimate, that entity could then make a deal on the on issues surrounding the land trust. So the idea is the state of Hawaii would then get control of a bunch of these lands. And, you know, could buy and sell lands, do trade, do all kinds of development that it doesn't have the ability to do now. So let's come back to Na'iapuni. So basically, the idea with Na'iapuni is that there's basically, first, the plan is to make a aha, otherwise known as a constitutional convention. So the idea is that delegates will be elected to go to this aha. There will be 40 delegates. So, you know, from all, you know, the different islands and from the continent. So, if they're going to meet 40 working days early next year, they could create a governing document, which is to create a governing entity. It's sort of like, you know, you don't have to exactly call it a nation, but it's kind of unclear what it is, but it's the basic term is a governing entity. So there's a big question about what that would be. So what could happen? what could happen is that option one, you could have a governing entity that is ready. It's basically the rules are set up so that it's ready to request federal recognition from the Department of Interior. If that request is granted and it conforms, federal recognition is over. So there's one major issue with getting federal recognition, however. Most people understand that, not all, but most people understand if you ask for federal recognition and you're granted it, then you're surrendering all claims for reinstituting independent nation of Hawaii on the level of, on the international level. Okay? So, if we do FEDERAC, we're giving up our claims for independent nation. So let's talk about that possibility as well. So, another possibility is that there could be a governing entity created which would, instead of being ready for federal recognition, either, you know, it could preserve the idea of like a independent nation state. So this, a lot of people think, okay, well, this is like very difficult to achieve under the current circumstance, but there is a basis for it, so we can get into that at a later time. But let's just call this independent nation state. So if Hawaiians want to go this way, we can't do it right away. So this governing entity would have to be some kind of provisional government, you know, over, you know, 15, 20 years. There could be a transition to independent nation state. Now, this is a major reason why Hawaiians are divided over this, because some people have an opinion, okay, we should go straight for federal recognition and then guide this whole process with only that as a focus, all right? Others think we should go for independent nation state and go directly to that purpose. Meanwhile, there is actually no Hawaiian government. So everybody's locked into their own opinions, but we don't have a process for this. So Naliapuni has a lot of problems with this process, okay? But there's a possibility that delegates, it's really up to whatever delegates they get in there. So the delegates are going to decide on recommending a constitution. Now, what's going to happen is that the first vote from Hawaiians is you vote for delegates to the AHA. If those delegates come up with a governing document, there would be a second vote this is basically like a referendum. So you're going to vote yes or no. So that second vote would happen a couple months after the AHA is filed, basically. So this second vote has a lot of importance, because it matters, depending on how many people vote in the second vote to say up or down on the Constitution, the Department of Interior will consider whether there is broad-based support for this governing entity from Hawaiians.
So there we go. This is from, it's a YouTube video, Raul Nohea, goodness, he shared that he's from Maui. He's explaining this Naliapuni. The vote is happening, and I understood it to be a vote that was going to be ongoing, that you had to be registered, and you had a certain amount of time. When I was on this Naliapuni website, they actually have Oh, it says vote here. And it's click here to view AHA delegate candidates. They have a digital voter guide and a button that says vote now. And I'm going to push that button because I know I'm not going to vote. I haven't registered. I'm not Kanaka Maoli. It is going to be one of the this is going to be one of the here we go. I need to have an election code and a voting PIN number. So if you registered, if you signed up, then you would have gotten the election code and you would have get the voting PIN, and then you'd be able to vote. And I'm joined in the booth right now. Brother, talk into the mic if you don't mind.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for joining us.
I'm Joseph K. Kaulike Kamai.
Okay. And you're showing me your phone. This is who you are. You are the government representative, ambassador, diplomat for the Hawaiian Kingdom Government Territory, Country of Hawaii, Hawaii Islands, Island of Kauai. And that's you.
Yes.
So thank you. Welcome to KKCR Out of the Box. We only have 6 minutes, but we're going to make the most of it. You were listening, and you have a short, you have a story to tell.
Yes. 20 years I've been in training. And my kupuna finally let me go.
Mm.
He says that I am complete. They call me Mo'i because I have the royal genealogy, and I also have my training complete spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And my family is both spiritually and royal family.
Head on.
Okay. It took a long time for me to really understand what was going on. And my job is to protect my people. Protect our country, our waters, our land, our airway. And they told me it was time to step out. So I am. And I am who they say I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't claim to be a king. There's only one king, and that's Akua himself.
Okay.
I'm his servant. I do what he asks me to do for my people, and if my people tell me what to do, I'll do it for them.
Mm.
This is how I was trained. I do it for my people, my family, and God.
And on your mission, what is it that you hope to accomplish?
Well, we've already got letters put out to the Hague, the president, the DOI. We have everything covered, and we are trying to get what they call an EO, an executive order.
Mm-hmm. An executive order from the federal president, government.
Yes.
Okay, so President Obama.
Yes. I know people are trying to rush to get ahead of us because they know that once we step through and we show them who we are, we're the ones that everyone says don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we have to step forward. And I ask all my family for all of us to step forward as one. Everyone with the true blood of the royal families to step forward and stand strong because our people need our help right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to happen, because if we don't, the DOI is going to take everything from our people, not just our people, the people of Hawaii.
Mm, and future generations.
Yes, and they won't have a chance to even have a say. Everything will belong to someone else. And it's time for us to say, enough's enough. You know, like I said, my training took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've stood behind people that claimed that they were king. But I also was asked by kings and queens of Polynesia that if they do not fulfill their job, will I step forward? And yes, I will. It's my time to do what I have to do for our people.
Well, I certainly appreciate you coming in right now. I wish I had more time to share with you. I wonder, what are you doing in 2 weeks? Because that's when I'll be back on the air again. But after the show, we can talk some more. You know, this discussion, the I want to say the severity of it, right? It's a significant discussion, and the majority of people don't know what's going on.
No.
And you come in, step into the booth late into the show with, if you will, a brilliance, a bright light to shine and help us understand, illuminate this question of what do we do to make things right?
To me, I trust in what the Lord does for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask the people to have faith in what we're doing. And we got to stand strong, because if we don't, we're going to have nothing for our kupuna, for our mo'opunas. And it's just like they're doing today. They're digging up our kupuna's bones and putting their hotels, their roads, you know. They take us for granted. They act like we don't belong. And the true story is, we didn't come from Polynesia. Polynesia was made by us. Our people had to leave because we had too many. And that's why they went down to Polynesia. And then when they return, that's when they get the part about, oh, we came from Polynesia.
Mm. So we had an earlier caller tell us a little bit about Hawaiian history, yet you share even further back more of that mana'o of how Hawaii became Hawaii, how Hawaii is in the middle of the Pacific, the Piko.
Exactly. And this is where we birthed. This is where we first came forward. And we left to go and find room for our people.
So for folks, we just have 1 minute. If people want to get in touch with you, brother, how can they, what is the best way for folks to, if they want to follow up and find out more?
Well, I have a website.
Okay.
Or actually a Facebook page.
Okay.
Excuse me. It's called Hawaiian Kingdom Government at yahoo.org.
Okay. So that's the email address?
Yes.
Right on. And if they're on Facebook, they can look you up at?
They can look me up. They'll see my stuff. I always put out spiritual gospel.
Nice.
I give out the word to everyone because I love the Lord with all my heart.
Well, amen on that. I give you the final words before we go on to the next evolution that will be here moments as we continue to do what we do on our community radio, share what we can, and hope that you enjoy.
I hope everyone enjoyed what I had to say. I thank everyone for inviting me into their homes on their radio. I know it's kind of surprising because I just came in at the last minute. I couldn't help it because my brother was talking about it, and I had to meet with him because we have business to take care of also. And I once again thank everyone out there for giving me this little time to explain myself. And I'm sorry for coming out so late for everyone.
No worries, brother. Thank you for coming. And we'll have you back. We'll have more time to talk about this important issue. Thank you, Tim, for manning the phones. Brother Dove will be here in the moment, and we'll leave you with this from John Gordon, a report from our county council. Aloha, and Maria, I love you.
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the county council report for the week of November 2nd. There will be a regular council meeting Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the agenda. The Chief of Police transmits for council consideration a proposed draft bill to approve.